Hey, everybody. Dennis Prager here in my home. Hi, it's great to be with you. These are known as the Fireside Chats, and I have them every week. That's how important they are to me. Just want you to know. I hope, obviously, it's important to you or you wouldn't be watching, but I want you to know it's obviously important to me. This is Otto, our bulldog, English bulldog. Otto is not stuffed. Some of you who don't watch regularly may never have seen him move and may really wonder, is it porcelain? Is it stuffed fur? He's the real deal, Otto. But he's very calm. So he doesn't get excited much. He doesn't bark when the doorbell rings. We love the guy. All right, great to be with you. So I always open up with some thoughts, and then I take your questions. These are very valuable times. None of this is scripted. I'm not reading from a teleprompter. And we don't even have any makeup on my face, which may be obvious, but really this is as spontaneous as it gets. By the way, are you the producer of the Fireside Chat? Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Megan does a magnificent, magnificent job. I just want to say that. I don't think it would be as good without her. So I just wanted that for the record. Having said that, there is one boo-boo you made in all 110 thus far. The theme, when I talked about wearing my jacket and tie, I don't wear a jacket and tie in the house. I wear it for this. And I am only saying it, I don't want you folks to think I walk around like this in my own house.
It's not completely up to me.
Who wrote it? Anyway, I want you all to know, because I actually saw it in the PragerU brochure, and I'm thinking, that's a little idiosyncratic to wear a jacket and tie in your house. I mean, I don't mind being idiosyncratic. That's just not one of my idiosyncrasies. Anyway, it doesn't take away from your greatness. I just want people to know, for the record, yes, I often have the tie on, but I never have the jacket on. That, and I did explain why I do put it on, though, for the chats. That I devoted time to. Clothing is very important. It's a very important issue. Okay, that's that. What are you looking up? How it's listed? She's so self-conscious. I'm sorry? Someone put it in.
The one episode that you didn't like the title, they put it in the brochure.
Yes, the one exactly correct. Okay, that's life. You got to live with this stuff. It's fine. Anyway, if it's the worst thing that's thought about me, he wore a jacket and tie in his house. I think I can live with it, but it isn't the case. You should watch the episode. I made a very important points about clothing. Okay, so I just read this week that I think it was the Wall Street Journal or New York Times, I don't remember, and it was that the rates of depression among college students are the highest ever recorded. That colleges don't have enough psychological counselors to help kids with their depression. Now, there are so many young people who watch these Fireside Chats. So obviously this is of relevance to you. It's obviously relevant to parents and to the rest of society. Why is this happening? I have some thoughts. And basically it goes as follows. Everything that can give you joy, or just about everything that can give you joy and meaning, and they are deeply related, is gone. In no order of importance, the average college student, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and if you correct me and I'm wrong, I will say it on the air, here and on my radio show. So, the average college kid doesn't date. They may have hookups, but they don't date. The average kid doesn't have religion / God. The average kid doesn't have a community. They may have friends or acquaintances or pals. They have a dormitory, but not really a community. You know, they don't have, let's see what else. Oh, yes. They don't have a country any longer to believe in. So what's left? Studying for tests? When I was at college and graduate school, I had all of the things that I just mentioned to you. I would date, which gave a lot of excitement and fun and meaning to life. And I had religion. I believed deeply in my country. I had hobbies. I had, I had religion. That's a lot. If you don't have any of that, what do you have to make you happy? The pursuit of a profession? That alone makes very few people. If that makes anybody happy, they're pretty empty. And emptiness is not a vehicle to great happiness. It's a very depressing scene when I think about it. I mean, just let's take the dating issue. A big part of humans' lives throughout history was the excitement of the opposite sex. Who will I meet? How will I meet? Will I ask her out? Will I say yes if he asks me out? This added a lot to life. And now, you know, when I talk to girls at college, you know, so many are, you know, I'm not interested in, you know, if the right guy comes along, you know, years down the road, but I'm focused on my studies and getting a great professional opportunity. And I think that's it. That's it. You must have been really indoctrinated to believe that could bring you anywhere near the happiness of meeting a wonderful guy and making a home. I mean, the brainwash has been so powerful for the last 50 years since Betty Friedan's angry screed about how awful it is for women, because so many of them were primarily preoccupied with making a home, poor things. Oh God, what a curse! after all, you could be teaching gender studies or, you know, head of sales for some shoe manufacturer. That's really where meaning is. I'm head of sales at so and so shoes. I don't denigrate being the head of sales at a shoe company. I don't denigrate it at all. I think work is a beautiful part of life and an important part, but that's it? You think that's going to bring you meaning and it's a supplement to other more important things in life. Anyway, so people would date. And they would look for a boyfriend or look for a girlfriend. And of course, most of the time, they'd go out for a year or 6 months or 2 years. They'd break up. But they had something, at least something important with the opposite sex. I know there are gays. I'm well aware they're in my life and in everybody's life. But the vast majority of human beings are heterosexual. So I'm making reference to that. It's mind blowing, but there is sex week at every college. That's really important. It blows my mind when I go to campuses, all the ads for sex week. All it does is make people more lonely. That's the irony. That doesn't fill your desire for a human. It fills your biological desire for a human, but not your psychological desire for a human or emotional. Or spiritual, how's that for a rare word? Then there's no religion for, you know, I would say half of college kids today have no religion, or they may tangentially have one, but it's not an important part of their life. That's a big loss, too. That's a huge loss. And you lose community because very many people got their community at their church or synagogue. And that's lost as well. And religion has been, for all of recorded history, the primary meaning filler in humans' life. Getting rid of it is a big deal. Then in America, as I've talked about often, there's no more belief in the country as a symbol of liberty to humanity, as the land of the free and the home of the brave, as the national anthem of the United States puts it. That's Thanksgiving has been denigrated to oblivion in many colleges because, hey, that's, what are we going to do, celebrate genocide? It's been reduced to genocide. Somebody, there's going to be a question, because I look at the questions right before the broadcast here. Somebody's going to ask about, you know, Americans taking away land. There's no country on earth, no nation on earth that didn't supplant a nation before it. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying there would be no nations. That's the sad history of humanity. This Indian tribe supplanted this Indian tribe, which was ultimately supplanted by another Indian tribe, ultimately supplanted by Europeans, and it just goes on and on. You think the French were always in France, right? Or anybody was always anywhere? It's very rare. Maybe Koreans were always in Korea. It's a peninsula, and it may well be. But in overwhelmingly, tribes in Africa did the same thing. So there's no America, there's no religion, there's no boyfriend or girlfriend, no seeking one, no dating, hobbies to fulfill life. I've talked about hobbies. Video games is not a hobby. It's a pastime, but I wouldn't call it a hobby. Maybe for some, it might constitute it if you know how to program one or something like that. So what do you have? You'll get into a good graduate school? That you think that's all that meaningful? Whew, let me tell you, it isn't. And I went to a prestigious graduate school. So what? I knew then, so what? I didn't think, ooh, I'm at Columbia University School of International Affairs. That's meaningful. Never occurred to me. So, it's just getting worse. There's less religion, less patriotism, less male-female bonding. So what is there? No wonder so many people are depressed. And then with the ubiquity of the legalization of marijuana, one of the, in my opinion, one of the more destructive ideas in our society. People, it's a really amazing. They went after tobacco, but they're keen on legalizing marijuana, and nobody says anything about alcohol. At least one thing you could say about cigarettes, and I know cigarettes kill. I'm totally aware of that. About one third of smokers will die prematurely, according to the Lung Association. But it doesn't play with your brain. Alcohol and drugs do. So I'm sorry. If you're a young person listening, you should pursue all the things I said. You should date. You should look into religion. You should celebrate your country. People listening all over the world, I want you to celebrate your country. It's a good thing. That doesn't mean you deny bad things that have happened in your country. It's like we celebrate friends. No friend is perfect. We understand our friend has flaws, but we still celebrate them. Okay. Let's go to your questions. And the first one from Nigeria. Okie dokie. Hi.
Good morning, sir. My name is Tope Olowe from University of Lagos, Nigeria. First and foremost, I want to say thank you, Mr. Dennis Bregaji, for all you do.
Thank you.
You teach wisdom, you embody wisdom. God bless you, sir. My first question is, I want to know what keeps you going. You've gone through a lot. Pregaji is going through a lot. And it's enough for one to just wake up one day and say, no, okay, I've tried, let me just sit a little while I can. But I see that fighting spirit in you. You keep going and you keep encouraging all of us to do the little we can. So I want to know what keeps you going. Secondly, there's this joke you told about something that happened to you in Israel when a rabbi said there is a chance, there is no hope, there is hope, there is no chance. I want to know if there is really a future for conservative ideas in this world. Thank you.
Thank you. What a pleasure. All right. So that was Tope Olowe in Lagos. Tope, it's a pleasure to hear from you. Okay, so your first question is, what keeps you going? I've been through a lot. That is correct. I see that fighting spirit in you and you keep going. I keep going for many reasons. And I'm just trying to isolate the best way to put this. This is going to sound corny. I don't know if all of you around the world will know the word corny, but I can't think of a great way to explain it. Sound almost like too sweet to be believable. That's what corny is, even though corn is somewhat sweet. So when I was in high school, I knew what I wanted to do with my life. I was very lucky because most people in that age don't know what they want to do with their life. I was very lucky. And it's never wavered for a day in my life. I wrote in my diary, I want to influence people to the good. That's the way I wrote it. I still have that diary. And that's what keeps me going. That is what I want to do. I know that I've been given a gift of communication. So I sort of, not sort of, but I have to use it. And I try to use it for the good. So that's what I knew even as early as high school. And it keeps me going is I want good to prevail over evil. I hate evil. I hate people hurting each other gratuitously. And I know that the battle is a very hard one. That's the thing. I never thought it would be easy. I know that human nature is not basically good, that piece of wisdom, and that separates the wise from the foolish, that alone separates people. You can't have wisdom if you don't believe human nature. If you do believe human nature is basically good, you cannot have wisdom. You when you start out with a foolish premise, you can only have foolish results. I just decided I needed to do the right thing and fight for it. I haven't wavered. I believe that my belief in God has helped, but I don't believe that God, I never took for granted God will protect me or bring me success. I don't see God. I never ask, what will God do for me? Never, ever, ever. I only ask, what can I do for God? Or what does God want me to do for him, as it were? That I do ask, but I've never asked what God can do for me. That's a very strong part of my religiosity. So I'll tell you another thing that keeps me going, Normandy Beach. So I visited Normandy Beach many years ago. Normandy Beach is where vast numbers of American and Allied troops, especially American, also Canadian, and I'm not sure which other countries, landed to liberate Europe from the Nazis. If you go to Normandy Beach, you will see thousands, or I think a thousand. I don't know. It looks like a thousand. Mostly crosses of guys who died at 19, 20, 21, 22, storming Normandy Beach to fight the Nazis. And I made a vow to myself. I said, you know, these guys died at 21 to fight for liberty and to fight, in their case, for America. So nobody's asking me to die. I might as well live for liberty and for America. I mean, I don't have to make the sacrifice that these guys made. So the least I could do is live for good ideals. So, and I'm a fighter. My nature is to fight the bad guys. I don't like fighting. I don't enjoy it, but I can't. I sleep very well at night, but I wouldn't sleep well if I didn't fight. If I took the easy way out. All of that keeps me going. Secondly, you spoke about meeting a rabbi in Israel saying there is no hope, there is no chance. Okay, that's not the way the phrase is. So remember the story. He told me the story in the early days of Israel. It was a socialist country. So he went to the Ministry of Communications to get a phone. And he asked the clerk, so when will I get the phone? And the clerk said to him, in about 6 months. And my friend then said to the guy, hey, is there no hope that I could get it? Is there any hope that I could get it sooner? And the guy said, sir, there's always hope. There's no chance. It's one of the funniest and greatest stories of my life. I'll never forget it. So it's not there's no hope, there's no chance. There's always hope, there's no chance. It's dark humor. I love dark humor. I want to know if there really is a future for conservative ideas in this world. Of course there's a future. But I don't know that I will. It will be in my lifetime that it will prevail. I just know that there is no alternative to what is called conservative ideas. Conservative means you conserve what is best from the past. Overthrowing the great values of the past because, you know, they're dead white European males or just dead is childish in the extreme and utterly destructive. So, of course, there's a future. Hey, you know how many people I'm talking to right now? Almost a million. And you're in Nigeria and I'm going to say there isn't hope? You got to kid me, right? Andrea, 22, in Ravenna, Italy. See? Going from Nigeria to Italy. Dennis, I'm a proud Christian, but what's wrong with saying happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas? If it's more encompassing and makes people feel more comfortable, then why be rude about it? I don't get how this is a big deal. Well, it is a big deal. And I know it's a big deal because it's Christmas. It was said to be Christmas. And there's got to be a reason that people don't say it. And you gave the reason. Makes some people feel more comfortable to say holiday. Well, those people are narcissists. I don't give in to narcissists. I'm a Jew. Christmas is not my religious holiday. I always say Merry Christmas. Any Jew or Buddhist or atheist or Muslim who doesn't feel comfortable with Merry Christmas is a narcissist, and I don't give in to narcissism. Oh, gee, that's not my holiday. So what? It's the national holiday. It's the holiday of like 90% of Americans. Hello? Why is your quote-unquote comfort more important than the comfort of 90% of your fellow citizens? It's beyond belief to me. One-fifth of Israel is not Jewish. They say Shabbat Shalom on the radio every Friday night in Israel. Shabbat Shalom is Sabbath peace, right? Because the Sabbath comes in at sunset on Friday. Should they stop it? No. The majority, unless the majority is evil, then the majority should be allowed its celebration. Anyway, it's a national holiday in America. It's not just a Christian holiday. It's a national holiday. But of course, there are a lot on the left who would like to remove it as a national holiday. Don't give in to just because somebody says I'm not comfortable. Why do you give in? That's the amazing thing to me. Comfort is the new God. Well, why aren't you comfortable? What skin is it off your back to say Merry Christmas, you narcissist? Okay. Say happy birthday to somebody on their birthday. Why? It's not your birthday. You should say happy holiday, not happy birthday. It's not your birthday. Josh, 28, Portland, Oregon. Howdy, Mr. Prager. Howdy, Josh. How do I justify the goodness of America to people who say we live on stolen land? Thank you for all you do. You truly compensate for the lack of male role models in our modern age. Let me take that last part first. That's another tragedy. I know that. I had plenty of male role models as a kid. But my generation, the baby boomers, had a lot of truly destructive ideas. One of them was don't trust anyone over 30. Never trust anyone over 30. So they had contempt for adults. They thought because they went to college and their parents didn't, they knew more. Oh, God, is that a joke? So the male models, man, look in the movies even. God, the men, real honest to goodness, men who were in movies. And honest to goodness, women who were in movies in the last, you know, prior to the 70s. Oh, my God. It was a joy to watch them. Who do you have now? These are boy men. There's a term that somebody told me. What is edamame in English? You know, the... Soy boys. Did you ever hear that term? Soy boys. Yeah. At 50. So what do you say to people who say we live on stolen land? Yes, we live on stolen land. Now what? What are we supposed to do about it? What is your point? Yes, it's correct. Every country lives on stolen land. What would you like the country to do about it? Leave? People make the point as if that ends the discussion. It doesn't end the discussion at all. Correct. Much of the land was stolen. Not all, much. But why did they own it? Because they were here before us? Who was here before them? If anybody was here before them. Did the Aztecs steal it from another? Probably did. From another tribe or another nation. It's a point that doesn't mean anything. Not all the land was stolen. There were not that many Indians that the entire North American continent belonged to Native Americans is a little absurd. Right? I mean, let's be honest. It's a very gigantic continent. Not that many people. What's our time? Let's see here. All right, there, I'll end up with this one. Got a lot of good ones. Oh, we can get through them another time. Andrew, 18 in Los Angeles. Hello, Andrew. What is the secret of longevity? To longevity? P.S. Give Otto some good belly rubs for me. No prob. You're the man. You see his reaction. He's so excited. That's the thing about Otto. Yeah. Okay, he is breathing. Sometimes I check. So, Andrew, I gave him the rub. What's the secret to longevity? Well, my favorite answer. Are you ready? Actually, there are secrets, interestingly. But a guy asked, the oldest World War II veteran just died in the last year or two. And the Dallas Morning News had an interview with him. I think he was 107. So when he was 106, they asked him, which everybody asks anybody over 100, you know, what's the secret to longevity? So he said, and I love this, he said, the secret is God and cigars. That's my man. So I think I got a good shot at 106 here. God and cigars are pretty central to my life. I don't know if there's, I think, I'll tell you, there are a lot of secrets. Here's one secret, luck. Okay, let's be honest. Get pancreatic cancer. Okay, did you do anything to create it? No. Right? Get a brain tumor. I believe in God, but I know there's luck in life. Of course there is. You hit by a drunk driver, it's terrible luck. What are you going to do? So luck is a factor, but I do believe that putting the luck part aside, friends are apparently a huge benefit. By the way, dogs apparently help people live longer. The elderly who live alone and have a pet like a dog or a cat apparently do live longer, and it makes sense. We're meant to relate, ideally to people, but this is a good second best. But friends are huge. Religion is huge. The issue is not because I'm religious. The issue is just true. People who have a religious life and a religious community live longer. Inner peace. Because I remember in high school, some, you know, health book or something that stress kills. And I took it very seriously. I've always wanted inner peace. Not to live longer. I just want inner peace. I have inner peace. So that's why I write a book. I've written a book on happiness, and I do a show on happiness. So there are a lot of secrets to it. And there are physical things I have to believe. Believe it or not, I do work out 3 days a week. And I also, in my case, I fast about 18 hours a day because I read so much compelling arguments that the less you eat, the better it is for longevity. And I don't frankly give a hoot about food. I eat because I have to. I don't live for food. I live for cigars, but I do not live for food. I eat food because, you know, eventually I do get hungry, but it doesn't mean much to me. There are so many factors here but I'll tell you, if you're eating yourself up, if you're constantly aggravated, I think you're going to live a shorter period of time. My dad died at 96, smoked about 4 cigars a day, had a big martini or a scotch on the rocks, but God, he had inner peace. That man, very little bothered that guy. He was in World War II on an attack transport, exactly the type of ship that the kamikazes tried to destroy by having Japanese planes commit suicide attacks on ships. Guy slept like a lamb. He just that was his nature. He never worried about being hit, and he said, if I'm hit, I'm hit. Nothing I can do about it. And so you're blessed if you have a calm nature. I do have a calm nature. I also work on it, but I have one. Anyway, it's been fun this time with you. It's always fun. That's why I do it. Well, it's not the only reason I do it. I do it because it's important. And I obviously, a lot of you think that way, and that means a lot. So tell people about it so others can share in this. And until next week, from my home to yours, thank you for watching. I'm Dennis Prager. Thank you for watching. If you'd like to keep these fireside chats free, please do by donating to PragerU.